All right, call the meeting to order. Roll call, Rich Cunnington.
Here.
Josie Donovan.
Here.
Holly Laurent.
Here.
Noah Ruggieri.
Here.
Jamie Snodgrass.
Here.
Nate Tate is still out with a broken ankle. And Wade Wheat, here.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, public comments. Nobody here. Unless Mark has public comments.
Your meetings go too long.
Okay, we'll see if we can speed up then. All right, discussion of possible ordinance violation 308 East Main Street, the new construction, the modular. Noah and I went over there yesterday and measured everything. As far as setbacks go, looked good. From the side of the house to the fence was 9.5 feet. But like Noah was telling me yesterday, the line is the other side of the fence. So as far as it being a modular, what are we thinking? Holly, what did you come up with as far as?
So what I came up with and what I prepared to be in that email is that we didn't follow our procedure correctly. So since it wasn't a single family home in R2, it should have gone to the zoning administrator for a permit for special use since it was not single family. So it should have came to you for a modular or if it was approved. That did not happen. It got approved.
Okay. So at this point, what do you guys think we should do as far as the, you said special use permit?
Well,
or is it a variance?
It would have been provisional use, is what it should have been probably underneath.
Okay. Mark, how do we go about changing that so that it falls in line since that was a, during the whole building permit process, that whole thing was skipped, that portion of it? Well, our portion of it, I should say. How should we go as far as keeping someone from saying, oh, well, you let them do it, why can't I? Okay. Do we grant them the special provision?
But the fact that we screwed up on one doesn't mean that we get to screw up on the next one.
They're just something, something slipped through.
So, and I think that's something we'll talk about here in a little bit with the changing around of the building permit application process. So,
but the setbacks were okay then?
Setbacks were fine.
They
were. So that 25 foot wasn't?
No, that was just, I guess that's just how they do them on the site plan, because we came off the road and then measured it.
It was over 40.
It was 41 foot.
Yeah, but that 25 should be from the property line, right? Mm-hmm. Or the 30 feet, so we came off the property line or the road?
We came off the road.
We also came from the survey marker in the drive.
Well, that was where we came off of, was the survey marker for the property line. And then from that survey marker to the closest part of the dwelling was 41 feet.
So we define a setback as, shall mean the distance between the street right-of-way and the front line of the building, parking lot, accessory building, or other structure. The setback to these structures shall be measured from the outermost projection thereof, excluding covered structure.
Shouldn't be.
Good. Just have a seat right over here, please.
Oh, okay.
So,
over here?
Yep.
Okay.
So you measure from
451.
Mm-hmm. It's on 2-26 in the definition in the front section.
And I think going off of that survey marker, it was at least 10 foot from the right.
Was that?
The survey marker was 10 foot from the end of the street.
So basically, it was the front, it was the front property line. But that goes on a skew there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. That those measurements, that's not the scale.
Okay.
It should it
Well, I know it's not
really
scale, but is that number then not right then? Or?
No, it is not right.
Because if you came...
If it was 25 foot,
came,
it would be...
Because if you came to here, I mean, that might be 41 feet, and you get over here, it might be 25.
No, if you look at it, where the
corner of that edge.
This one here?
Nope, over one right there.
Yeah.
That's where I measured to.
Okay, to here?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, yes, off, we came 10 feet off the street and then measured from there over and it was 41 foot.
And this is the front property line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not 25 feet.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if that's just something they do on all their site plans.
Or it could have been something they had before and just didn't get...
Just adjusted right. It without
yeah.
changing it.
Didn't get edited yeah. out.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because in R4, it is 25 feet, correct?
In R2, in R5...
Or R5.
Yeah, so the mobile park home is 25 feet.
Right, the R2 should be 30 feet.
The R2
feet.
Is 35 feet.
And I'm wondering since...
30 or 35.
And I'm wondering since Riley Homes does that a lot. They do mobile home parks. I wonder if that's where they got the 25 foot mark.
30, okay.
That's what I thought.
Maybe, if that's what, yeah, if that's just kind of there.
Oh, front yards, 35, yeah, 35 feet from right away. It is 35 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it's 35.
I was thinking it's 30 for some reason.
Okay.
Yeah, they were good when we measured it.
Okay. So
and the back of the lot is plenty.
All right.
So there's no violation then.
Not
technically.
Fine.
We
except
just
for that
need
big old hole.
What?
So there is at least 10-foot deep hole out front of the southwest corner of the property that's not fenced off. Rob was telling me that it looks like they were trying to find a sewer or water connection there.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned to him, you know, maybe that needs to be fenced off. He says, well, it is. It has a yellow tape around it. I said, well, that's a 10-foot deep hole. So, you know, I don't know. I don't think they have any rules here.
Are they not going to fill it in?
They probably will.
They're probably still trying to find some connection somewhere. I don't know. Okay. I'm going to keep my eye on it because I go out of town that way every day. I'm going to kind of keep my eye on it. I may mention it to Matt Graven as well. Kind of see if maybe they have a barricade or something they can put up around it. Because if you're coming through there at night, because
yeah.
that tape's down, you're going to run into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I may email Matt tomorrow and mention that to me.
Okay,
well,
so then we just
temporary orange fences or something around it.
Right,
know?
Just a couple barricades or something.
So then do we need to discuss amending our ordinances to address the modulars and the prefab homes?
So I don't think so because we're covered. In a case that is not specifically mentioned in Table 3-1, shall be subject to the regulations and use where permitted by right, provisional use, or special use, to which it is related to or related or similar as determined by the zoning administrator. Though their zoning administrator may determine that such a use is either permitted by right, permitted by provisional use, or permitted by special use, or not permitted in any particular district. So that is what we should have had done. Matt should not have signed the building permit, and it should have came to wait. Under that, because it is not a factory built home and a manufactured home are not listed in the table 3-1.
Okay.
So, Mark, with you having a wide scope of different villages, do any of them have that kind of provision as well, where the zoning administrator can kind of say it needs to have a provisional use or something like that? Do we need to have, if one of these comes to me or to us again, do we need to have a special meeting about it, discuss it, have the neighbors come in and say, no, they don't want it, yes, they don't care, or whatever?
Yeah, I think you handled like a special use permit or kind of
okay.
a variance, so you've got to do the ad in the newspaper and go through the process to give people an opportunity to come in and
all right.
have their say.
Perfect. So I think that's what we'll do, and we'll talk about that more in the down number 9, 11. So.
Okay.
All right, number 5. All right, are we done with that one?
I think so.
We're all good
mm-hmm.
there? Okay. Discussion of the shed at 412 East Main Street. So I spoke to Danny Gibbs today, and Noah had sent me an email about an idea that he had as far as letting him tear down the old garage and not charging him for the demolition permit to help offset some of the cost of like the building permit and let him build a little bit bigger new shed slash garage there. And that sounded like a great idea until I spoke to him on the phone. He didn't like that idea. So he said, well, it's just a carport that we're going to enclose. I said, so it's a shed. He goes, no, a carport that's going to be enclosed. I said, okay, so a shed. And he says, you know what, just, I'm going to hold off for right now. And he said we revisit it in the spring. He doesn't want to tear the old building down.
Right. When he says carport, though, is it a fixed foundation now?
It's some just of them, one of the metal.
Some of them just.
It's one of the kill
anchored
ones.
To the ground. So yeah. I mean, that's not a permanent structure. So is there anything we can even do about that? As long as it's on his property.
But that was the other thing, is he wanted it.
I believe he was going to fix it to the ground.
Okay. Well, if it's a permanent structure, that's a different thing.
He was going to put a pad there, a gravel pad, and do some other stuff there. So. But no, if it's not permanent, then I don't believe there is anything that we can do. I mean, those pop up from time to time, and
Right. Nobody
really complains about them. I mean, they may to the village board, but I haven't.
You see people putting in their driveway now just to cover the drive up. You know,
yep. Mm-hmm. I've got one across the street from me. They've got an old car underneath it.
Yeah. Right. So long as it's on their own property.
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as and I don't know if we've got anything that covers anything like that or not, but just to keep it from. If you have a visual impairment of some kind, at a corner or something, but
which was the original intent, so that would have probably caused.
Right. Yeah. Well. The permanent structure. Yeah.
Okay. Are we done?
Yep.
Okay.
And if you want, Jamie, if you don't mind, if you'll. Take some time and look that up and see what you can find as far as ordinances that have anything to do with non-permanent structures. Let's revisit that in a later meeting and make sure that we have something in there that covers us where people aren't putting them right up on the street. All right. Discussion of adding construction of in-ground swimming pools to the ordinance and the fee schedule. So this is something that the board wanted us to kind of look at and explore a little bit. What I found this week was there's stuff all over. I mean, they have Champaign's is pretty elaborate. I went as far as looking at some of Chicago suburbs, how they do theirs. Very similar to the way Champaign has theirs. We don't have a building inspector, so I don't think we don't need something that elaborate. And basically, there was several that were built this year that took away a lot of green space. In the village, and some neighbors got upset, from my understanding. And we just need to make sure we get something written into the ordinance to make sure that they follow setback requirements and that there is a fee paid for a building permit. So, and I guess one thing that had come up was possibly taking. Oh, this is on. I'm on 2212, by the way. Taking the fences down to $75 for that permit and doing a in-ground swimming pool construction at $150. And Mark, do we have to have motion second and then a roll call vote to add something like that to the ordinance? And then it has to go to the board?
The board has to approve
the
recommendation of the board.
Yeah. If you're making recommendations of changes to the ordinance, or if you're voting on special use permits or variances, those are all going to be roll call votes. Anything else would be ayes and nays.
Okay. It's a roll call vote here, correct?
Yep.
Okay. So what do you guys think?
So hold on.
So say that again?
Yeah, please.
Taking the fence permit down to 75 and doing a swimming pool ordinance at $125 or $150.
Where did you get those numbers? Just
I don't see the swimming pool.
No, he wants to add it.
We're adding the pool. So the fence ordinance for everybody will go down to 75?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. From the time that it's voted, that the village board says, okay, we're taking this down and this one's added.
So if they were doing in-ground swimming pool, it'd be basically $200. Pool and the fence.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
If you
so that way, because they have to have a fence, and if they don't have an existing fence, it would be just to help offset some of the cost. Or we can leave the fence the way it is and then add a $150 in-ground pool.
I mean, is our fee for fences comparable to everybody around us? Is there?
That's what I was gonna say.
Are we only trying to offset pools? Because people put up fences way more often than they put pools in.
And they've had a lot of complaints on the, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, that's what the board said on that, so.
Hey, where did we come up with the dollar amount for the pool?
It was comparable to some of the other villages and towns.
Okay.
I mean, there were some that were like $250, but they have to come out and they have to do electrical inspections and all that. And we don't have, if they're going to do something like that, then you're talking about adopting a whole building code and having another full-time person. So, and I don't think that's going to happen. So. And there are some villages as well that have permits even for above-ground pools. That you have to pay every year is like $20, and after talking to Rob, I mean that's not a good idea. But
I mean that would be tough, you know, because everybody's going those blue pools in their backyard or something like that.
Right. And there's a lot of controversy over a lot of those use permits. So
that's just something you have to keep track of, and if you can't keep track of it and enforce it, then you might as well not do it.
Right.
And they have a hard enough time keeping track of the golf cart permits, but don't get started on that.
And when you're talking about fences, though, is it something the board set? Was $100? I mean, they're probably not
going to
lower it then, are they?
Well, I would think just leave the fence the same, then we just adjust the pool to whatever
just
if we want to make it a $200 for the boat, make the pool permit. Like I said, it's going to be kind of a package deal anyway.
Yeah, so if they have an existing fence, charge them one, and if they need to build a fence, they can do it at this rate.
Right.
Because they're going to have to get both of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Yeah, that makes sense to me.
What do you guys think the fee should be set at?
What did you
say? A fence versus a pool. I mean, I think there should be a nominal difference between them. And so, I mean, I don't think $25 difference between them is enough. I think the $150 is where I would lean.
Okay.
If we're going to leave the fences at $700. I mean, if you're going to put an in-ground pool, you can afford $150.
I like you.
True. So you just want to leave fences alone and then...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because the people that are doing the above ground, and if they do a fence on their pool, they don't even need a permit at all, right?
If they're building a fence, then they have to come and get a permit.
But if it's on the pool, there's plenty of the above ground ones that do the fence on the pool.
Right, like a deck around it.
Uh-huh.
That's
true.
But I think, if it's over 40-something inches, I think. So, I mean, some of the ordinances that I was reading, they weren't allowing those.
Okay.
But then you had to have a gap so far between.
Wouldn't there a?
I don't know what they added with the pool one.
Would that be considered a deck?
No.
When you put on a pool like that? A deck?
I almost would, but it sounds like what she's talking about is it's like decorative. It didn't,
I mean, there's some that just go straight up over the pool. There's nowhere to sit.
Oh,
there are
right.
ones that mm-hmm. have a deck, and there's ones that just go straight up from the pool side.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And that, I think, counts.
But see, if
they're having a fence around a pool.
Yeah, because that's
right.
The whole point is to keep people out.
Yeah. And that was one of the definitions, too, was that I want to talk about was pool decks, because people do build those around, and they're not getting deck permits.
Yeah.
So.
So we need a motion. I motion that we add the... in-ground pool fee for $150 to our fees for accessory structures ordinance section
22.6. I second the recommendation.
Okay. And then a roll call vote, right, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, your recommendation isn't something that this amends the zoning ordinance itself, or is the fee ordinance separate from the zoning ordinance?
It's part of it. It's 22.6.
All right.
It's an addition to it.
Yeah. the trick that I've used for fees with other towns is to keep it separate from the zoning ordinance, just because that means when you change them, you don't have to go through the normal change process for zoning ordinance. So what you've got is a recommendation that you want to do something, but we haven't had a public hearing on it. We didn't advertise for it.
Okay.
So I think it's okay just to vote ayes and nays that you're recommending doing this. Then the board trustees can figure out, well, do we want to do this or not? And if they do, then it's going to come back to you, and we'll stick an ad in the paper for you and for the board, and then go through the process.
Okay.
I think that makes sense. And at that time, you're going to need the roll call vote. Okay. This vote is kind of a recommendation vote. It doesn't really count.
So, all in favor of the recommendation?
Yay.
Aye.
Okay. All opposed? Or any opposed? No? Okay.
Do we need to throw, like I said, if you're talking about decks there too, you want, do we need to throw something in there? Well, is that something that has to be amended in the...
Let's look at the definition.
Okay. Wait, let me make one other point, and that is, if you're going to go kind of go through the ordinance and come up with like a lot of little changes like this,
we should do
I'd
them
accumulate
all.
Them.
We should go through them all.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
and
right.
Then
that's
take
right.
them all
yeah.
at the same time.
Yeah, and it's okay to kind of stick
exactly.
up a stack, but we won't come back and do it until, say, March or something after you've got all the other ones and then blob them through all in one shot. So we
nobody's
don't
probably going to
build
no.
cool
so,
anyway.
And I, really, I appreciate that because I think with the definitions and stuff, that'll have to go to the board as well. And I want to just kind of do a real brief overview of any changes you guys have seen that need to be made. And then let's, you know, meet once or twice more before the end of the year. And then in January, go to the board. Here's our changes that we want made or that we would like to see made.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Okay.
In other ordinances, you don't have to go through that extra step of doing the ad and public hearings, but we have to do it for these, so... It saves money if we just lump it together.
Right.
So really start, and I know it stinks going through, you know, stuff like this, but really kind of go through here and see. Let's go back over it again. I know we found a couple of definitions and stuff that needed to be changed from when it was done this last time. And then, yep, and then we'll meet a couple more times. And then.
And that, well, you know, and that might be where that, you know, the non-permanent structure might have to be.
It might be.
Something like that and do it too. So.
Yep. So. All right, so discussion of missing definitions in ordinance book. What did you...
Okay, so I just, as I was sitting here, I found out more. So what's interesting is Article 4 is provisional and special uses, and it's defined there, but it's not in our definitions. And so I don't know, and then in table, like the table where it's all outlined is in the article beforehand. And I don't feel like that is user friendly.
Okay.
So even if we did something as simple as in the definitions have provisional and special use and then say see page or see article and point them there, at least then we have some reference point because I just now saw it from flipping through.
Okay. Or say as referenced in.
In in Article 4.1, you know, 4.1.2.2, 4.1.3, like, respectively.
And when it gets on the website, it's going to be, all those links will be live, so you can go actually click on it and they'll take you right to.
That's all they did put on there, didn't they?
The live one or just the PDF?
The PDF.
Okay, well, that's good.
Those are the two that I had trouble
with. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they took the old one finally off.
Right.
Good.
It's on there. It goes straight to the same document that we printed
right,
these books
the,
off.
Right, just
here.
The PDF.
So, yeah.
Good.
I mean, most people know you can do a find. You can do
Control F.
Control F, and you can do a find in there. So,
mm-hmm.
Cool. I didn't even know they had done that. I hadn't looked at that.
Yeah, I just saw it the other night.
Okay, so discussion of possible changes. We'll look at those over the next couple months.
Okay. Yeah, those kind of go together, right? Definitions and other changes.
And feel,
all kind of in there too, yeah.
Feel free to email me those, whatever you guys see, and then I can start compiling a list, and then we can kind of move forward from there. Okay. Mark, annexations.
I love them.
How are we doing? where are we at?
Well, we've got our, I think the mayor had compiled, or someone had compiled a list of, you had compiled?
Yep.
No wonder it was so brilliant. You compiled a list of
Let's
properties
not go there,
that
Mark.
Are either contiguous,
yeah.
meaning touching our boundaries, or are already surrounded, but they're not part of the village. And so we're going to have to, I mean, gosh, wait, there are probably 20 of them.
Yeah, I believe there was.
So it's a pretty good list. We have to know exactly who owns the property. So we've got Chicago Title Insurance either just coming up with a prior deed because it's so obvious who owns the property, or doing a search when it's not so obvious because we might have people inherited the property or whatever. But we have to have something that officially tells us who owns the property. When you go look at a property online and you see the tax bill going to an address, the tax bill could go to Mickey Mouse. You can
yeah.
designate it to go to Mickey
yeah.
Mouse if you want. That doesn't mean that's who owns the property.
Yeah.
So that's, as a municipality, that's what we have to do. The turnaround time on that, I'm hoping, is next month, meaning in November. The title companies are swamped, partially because they're spread thin with COVID and they're doing some remote
yep.
Office work that slowed them down, but also because the interest rates are so ridiculously cheap. Anybody that hasn't been buying a house is refinancing one, and so they do all the work that's involved with that. So they've just been stretched thin. And then what we're asking them to do is not exactly a profit center, and they do it for pretty
right.
cheap. So I'm a pretty big customer, so they're doing it as a favor, but we're also paying a little bit to do it. And when I talked to the person who does this, I said, she goes, well, when do you want it? And I'm like, well, can you get it to me in a month? And she goes, yeah, I think we're going to get caught up enough where we can do that. So that's where my November has come from. Maybe
who are
it turns
we
out
doing?
To be December. Maybe it turns out to be January, but that's what it'll be.
Who
so,
are we going through? What company are you?
Chicago Title. Okay. So when we've got all of that, we'll kind of cross-check to see which ones we've surrounded and which ones are just contiguous. So if I'm just contiguous, I'm looking at the village saying, well, if I don't have to annex, why are you trying to get me to annex?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have to come up with some reasoning as to why it's still a good idea.
It better be darn good.
Also, keep in mind that he's on the list, so let's not pay the
His
full
is
title
first.
On him.
Well, is this your residence?
Yeah.
So you're outside the village?
Yeah. I'm on your list.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm not sure you can be
yeah,
on this.
On that's what I was saying.
You have to be
thing.
A village resident. You can sit here as in an advisory capacity, but your vote's not going to count. That's what I'm going to tell you.
Hurry up, annex, isn't
get
it?
Get annexed.
You know,
yeah.
So we need to get you annexed. Now, what I would say, and the village board has to approve this, but you can make a recommendation. This is a while back. This is 20 years ago, so I'm showing how long I've been around. But the name's slipping my mind. The farm that's just north of the village on the west side of 45.
It's
Steerwall.
Steerwall.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why I drew a blank, but
yeah, we did,
Cecil
yeah.
McCormick approached the Steerwalls about it, and they were very pro-village, and they could see how important to the long-term health of the village it was for them to annex further up north like that. Because it allowed the village to go ahead and maybe keep going up 45. We signed an annexation agreement with them that had some language in it that said that we couldn't jerk them around on how they were going to use the farm. In other words, the fact that they've got farm equipment sitting outside or pieces of this or pieces of that wouldn't be in violation of our nuisance ordinance. And then the village's share of the real estate taxes we abated for 20 years, which is the maximum we could do it. The trade-off is then they got police protection and whatever services that you think go with the village. And I think that worked out pretty well. But their motivation was because it was the right thing to do for the village, and that's all we can sell to somebody that's just on the edge. Now, when they want to do something different with their property, and then you're going to the county to get their permit, and the county is saying, wait a second, you gotta get the village to sign off on this, then that's where we all of a sudden have some leverage, and we'll say, oh yeah, we'll let you split this thing, and we'll not make you do sidewalks, and we'll not make you do roads, but you gotta annex. So that's when we'll do that. When we got you surrounded and you're less than 60 acres, you got no choice. Do it voluntarily, or we'll just take you to court and we'll do it.
I think we have two of those, two properties surrounded.
Yeah. So that's how we'll handle those. So what I think we'll do is we'll kind of make a little spreadsheet of who the legal owners are, and you know what we know about the property, and then we'll talk about who gets to approach it, and I'll kind of produce some forms so that I'm not getting paid to do it. And I think we want to do that both because we're cheap, we don't want to waste money on the lawyer, but also the people that contact the owners ought to be people they know, who, as opposed to some guy in a suit.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a better shot at getting it done.
Hey, no, we're going to annex you next, you know, real quick.
Real quick, so and then have ahead. Me call, talk to all my neighbors.
Can we do the handshake verbal agreement on that?
It's already committed. You can't back out now. So.
He's on the board now.
No, but you know, it's not a painful process, and people don't notice the difference. And
I just want a sewer hookup. That's what I want.
Well, the and that's a legitimate thing, and that's one of the carrots we've got. The problem is when the sewer line is half a mile away.
There's a fire hydrant on my property.
Then we get your city water.
Yeah.
How far away is the sewer?
That I don't know, but across the street, Neverman's on part of the city, isn't he?
I believe he's.
Are you on a well right now?
No, I'm on city water and septic.
Okay. I believe he does have.
Yeah.
I think he does have sewer.
I think he does.
And I don't know about Woodworth.
But it is like half a mile from my place, probably.
Are you actually on
he's right
village
across.
Water, or are you on American, I mean, just because you're outside the village?
No, we're city water.
He's right across
right,
from
but the,
Woodworth.
The water line goes through.
I don't
the
think
water
American
line.
Would serve him unless
came through the village.
Through us, so, yeah.
He's
I know they did, I know they, like, when they run those lines, that, you know, out in the country and stuff, they'll tap into the farm out, you know, it's not necessarily the village's.
Yeah. And I always thought that that row of houses across the street from Woodward Trucking were already annexed in.
Yeah.
So. Fair enough.
Well, you know, back in the day, it just got approved, and you know, you fast forward 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and then it's at that point in time, it's not looking like that was a good way to do it.
So
easy to look back and
back to Steerwalt's. When is that one up? Do you know off
in 20 years?
Yeah,
it's gone.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay.
But see, what happens is all that happens is the village real estate tax bill becomes part of their tax bill. But we're talking a minuscule amount of money. Our taxes are tiny. Everybody's complaining about taxes more has to do with the school district than it does.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a knock on the school district, so that's the majority of the tax bill.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's hard to come up with the differential, but you can look on your own tax bill when you go home tonight, because
mm-hmm.
I know you all want to now. And just look at the village's portion. That's it in a nutshell. That's the difference. It's really small.
Okay. All right. And I'll talk to you afterwards about.
Okay, and afterwards it's going to be
we're
another time, not tonight, because I'm going to take off for Philo in about 1 minute.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. That's fine. I'll give you a call then. I think that's all we got for you then.
All right.
Anybody else have any questions for Mark?
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for doing this. I think the rest of the town doesn't comprehend what you even do. You're just starting to comprehend what you're doing. But you can kind of start to see how it's super important. Even if you get no credit for doing it, it's the right thing to do. And you know, back in the old days, I was on a commission that was probably something that no one ever cared about, but it was the right thing to do. So,
mm-hmm.
So
thank you for your service.
I've also asked Mark to be here at every other meeting with us in case anybody has questions, or before, like when we do the recommendations for the changes, we'll definitely have him here, because he'll be the one that'll be getting all that stuff ready for the board. So.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm guessing you're going to have a period where you're kind of active and you're doing some things, and then it's going to slow down. I don't know what that means, but mm-hmm. 6 months, a year, 2 years from now, and then you won't need to meet as often, and then you guys will figure out what you're, you know, what's what makes sense. But it sounds like right now you've got some good activity and it's worthwhile to meet.
Thanks, Mark. Have fun in Philo.
I will. I'm trying to get them to let me Zoom the meeting from the tavern, but I don't think that's
good. Well, they just have the meeting at the tavern.
It's fried chicken.
Yeah, why don't they just move the meeting to the tavern?
If that's the case, let's go close down the meeting to do our meeting.
Still got your dollar old styles or whatever?
And one of my Zoom meetings, in case you didn't notice, I probably have an odd sense of humor at the wrong times at a meeting, but breaks it up a little bit. But we're having a Zoom meeting, and I was at the village where we were having the meeting, and I was there with the mayor, and everybody else was at home. So I took a picture of Brad Pitt, put it on my phone, and then put that up on the camera. So when I was talking, it was Brad Pitt. So, you know, that's just what you do during COVID times, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, thank you very much, and if you need me, let me know, and we'll talk later and figure out what we need to do to clean up some loose ends.
Cool. All right.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, everybody.
All right, one more thing, we can get out of here. I'm talking about amending the building permit application process for the village board to review and approve, and of course, approval from them. I think with this last modular home that went in, you know, it did get kind of skipped. Our building permit is pretty vague as far as when it says single family home, well, what is it? There's a lot of different single family homes out there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't realize that. And they're defined, each different single family home is defined. But when you look at our building permit, I mean, it's new building, proposed use, single family, two family, multi-unit, mm-hmm. commercial, garage, other type mm-hmm. of construction. Wood frame, steel, masonry, well, factory built should be under type of construction. Under single family, that should be broken out into mobile, modular, manufactured.
Right.
You know, and Holly, I think you had some ideas. Did you come up with a new permit?
That's pretty it. Much it. I looked at a couple others and was hoping for inspiration. And actually, ours has more detail than some of the others.
I found that out, that same thing out too.
So I think it's just adding in those nuances.
And I would also like to see this go digital.
Yep.
I can do that.
To where they can put it online, they can fill it out online, or you can print it out and fill it out.
They have it online.
But
you and
can't
it's a
fill
PDF.
It out.
Yeah.
I could turn it into an e-form.
Fillable PDF is like super fast.
Yeah, it is.
Well, we're going to change.
But to be able to.
We have to talk
to
we
be
have
able
to go
submit
to the board
online.
And say, hey, this is what we want to change on our building permits to make our job of zoning a little easier.
The current one, I can still make the current one.
Mm-hmm.
You want all the forms?
Yeah, you want, I'll just have my secretary do it.
I don't know, Rena may be able to do it.
Huh? It's not hard in Adobe Forms.
Yeah.
Does Matt still sign those in, all those? I mean, would that be something to ask him about too, a little
so
bit?
So I
figure out, hey, what's since he sees a lot of them and knows some of the.
That'll be the
part. The way it goes right now is they fill the form out, they bring it back to Rena.
Right.
Rena looks at everything, and then she gives it to Matt. What I would like to see happen is Rena looks at it, gives her best guesstimate to it. Well, does this need to come to zoning first? Is there something that is possibly could happen, and she's been really good about sending me stuff, going, hey, can you take a look at this first to make sure everything's okay? And then I, you know, go through it and look at it and make sure it is. Or she has the homeowner call me directly.
When they submit the permit, do they also submit the lot
they're
plan
supposed
to?
Right. And I want to make sure everything is defined as far as.
I mean, can she just send it to you and Matt both?
But the thing is, we want to stop Matt from signing something he's not supposed to, like what happened.
Right.
So what needs to happen is Rena needs to be trained. And I mean, it's really easy if you go off that table. If it's not permitted by right, it needs to go here first.
Yep.
If it's permitted by right, it can go to Matt.
verbally not.
So, and Rena's really, she's very knowledgeable, and she was on the village board. I mean, she knows our ordinance book. I mean, anytime she sends me something, she sends me a copy and paste it, or even just a page in the ordinance book that says, this is what we got to follow. And that's why I'm kind of leaning on her a little bit and to do this. So I think I'd like to see, I want to make a recommendation to the board to change the application process and how those applications are divvied out.
Yeah.
There's been some stuff that's been cleared that probably shouldn't have been. So before those get signed off.
But like I said, yeah, that form needs to probably be updated to a little more, maybe a little more info on it too.
More specific. Because that'll make it easier for the first person to see.
How hard is it
to
get the form updated?
You want to get with Arena? I want to talk to the board first.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, what if we have to? Yeah, if that's something approved by the board to do that first.
But I think, I mean,
it wouldn't hurt to look at it and maybe jot some notes down on what we think might need to be changed on it. And
even if this goes to a two-page application, because I was looking at some other applications and they were very specific on contractor, electrical, plumbing, carpenter,
masonry. They probably all have. Yep. Building codes though too.
Yeah, and they have their license number and everything and they're required
check
on there.
Right,
And there was a couple of them, if they didn't have a license number on there, they weren't approving.
Right.
And I'm kind of mixed feelings about that, but that kind of also is security for the property owner as well.
Right.
You know, if your contractor doesn't have a license number, then but you also have to look at the do-it-yourself or
you're
never going to do driveways on Saturday.
You're helping people that just
want
to better their property and don't have the money to pay for it.
But
right.
So,
but
I would like to see this form
like
updated.
Stipulation and doing it yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd like to see this form updated and digital. So I think when I go talk to the board, I'm going to send Brandy a note to try to get, we need to get on there anyway, about a couple other things. For the next village meeting. And I want to bring that up. So
when you're saying that, though, if you paid a couple guys $500 a piece, that'd be under do-yourself or something?
Well, if it doesn't require a license number, we were just talking about
the
sidebar that it's the do-it-yourself people, and as long as you can prove that's your property, then you don't need a license number.
Right. Okay. But, I mean, if you want to go pour a driveway, a concrete driveway, go ahead and just get the building permit for it.
Yep.
So when I worked at the concrete plant years ago, we did a lot of those on Saturday mornings.
Oh yeah.
And we ended up, the drivers ended up pulling a lot of concrete. So.
I need a driveway. No. Well, there's a couple guys around town that does it all the time.
Bill
Mustafer.
Bill.
Bill and
Fred.
Fred.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna do like 10 feet at a time, so that's all I can afford.
I can't believe it. Well, yeah. Fred's still out there just working his tail off.
Yeah.
They do a lot.
Yep, him and Bill do. So, all right. What other changes do you guys want to see on this application?
Can I see the application?
I've really seen it forever.
I like that in St. Joe's it accompanied their fees as well.
So it's already a two-page document anyway?
Yeah.
Okay, so that...
Like our fee page that we were just looking at? That's nice.
I just think it's user-friendly.
Absolutely. Need a little sheet of graph paper added to it.
What?
Right.
Piece of graph paper added to it.
Something to scale it with.
And I would also like to see some changes of, okay, so you want to build a single-family manufactured home. Bring us a photo of what you want to build there. We had an instance last year where somebody wanted to do a garage that turned out to be a metal hut, and it upset a lot of the neighbors. We approved it. We had
is that the one on Austin?
Yeah, we had two or three hearings on it. The footprint was exactly what he said it was going to be. It was all done legally, but it just wasn't the structure we thought it was
not
going
really
to be.
Imagining,
yeah, we thought it was going to be a garage.
Yeah,
right.
An
a
oversized
shed, yeah.
Two or three car garage, but it wasn't. And there were a lot of phone calls were made on a Saturday, and me, myself, and one of the board members had to go out there. And well, it's you know, your measurements are right, so yeah, you're good to go, keep going.
Yeah.
So.
That is an odd little building, or, I mean, big building, but it's not.
Well, there's a couple of other ones in town that probably shouldn't have been built either, but we're, I don't think this is the time or place for that, so. And I think streamlining the process would help eliminate some of those issues. If somebody wants to build a garage that's over with the 700 something square foot, that needs to come here first.
Yeah.
Before Matt just signing it off saying, here, go ahead, here's how you do it, attach it to the house and you'll be okay. No, you need to come to us and we need to do the public hearing and let the neighbors have, you know, their say in it.
Right.
I mean, there was one that was built here in, on the south side of town that there were some neighbors that were really torqued that half that property is a shop. So, and because it's attached and the building permit was signed off, nothing anybody can do about it. So. But that's all I got.
That might be something on there too, like, you know, on a permit, whether the garage is attached or not, or not separated too, that might be an issue that comes, like I said, you know.
There's a size issue there. If it's over a certain size, it has to be attached, I believe is the way it's
right. Right, but sometimes, you know, someone build a house and they won't build their, I mean, not too often anymore, but build a garage out back or whatever, but.
So before I was here, this was 10 years ago, right when we moved in, our old neighbor was talking about they wanted to build an identical garage to mine, and mine's detached in the alley. And there's two other houses right there, but for some reason, you know, they wouldn't let him do it. They kept saying it had to be attached. Well, if he would have come around,
certain size, you had to be attached.
He wanted to do identical to mine. It was conforming to the neighborhood. I think this group of people here would have said, you know, it's conforming. Get signatures from all your neighbors, let them come in and say their piece. Sure, build it. As long as you go by the ordinances. And I think that's kind of fallen away from the process and it needs to come back and get streamlined again. So. So let's look at next meeting updating this and just come up with some ideas to give to the board. And I'll be more than happy to present it to them and go, hey, this is kind of what we're thinking. This would help us out in our job. So.
Well, like I say, you know, if Matt and Rena begin doing them all the time, they might have a little more insight on, hey, it'd be nice if we had this information too. So, yeah.
And I think we should have Matt and Rena both at the next meeting too and discuss it with them as well.
They can come.
What's that?
I said that. I mean, that seems like a good idea if they can come.
So say, like I said, they kind of see the day-to-day operations with them, and I'm sure they got little things that they would say, hey, you need this, or.
Yeah, they'd love to be heard, I'm sure.
Right.
So. All right, well, that's all I got.
Okay.
Anybody have anything else?
Do we need to?
Afterwards. We need just an emotion.
An emoji?
Yeah, an emoji to get out
an
of
emoji.
Here.
An
yeah, emotion to get to adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
Oh.
Get this.
She can have it.
Okay.